I want to turn for a little while this morning to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, let's begin with verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We would bring forth yet another message on watch. And today, as we read from verse 17, they watch for your souls. I want to make just a little bit of a contrast, or perhaps we call it an addition, to the message last week where the Corinthians were exhorted to watch for the gospel. And they were especially told to watch for those who would preach it. As we see there in 1 Corinthians 16, Timothy is mentioned, and our brother Apollos is mentioned, and others. And so they were exhorted to submit yourselves unto such, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And so Paul wanted the saints to watch in regard of the rulers or those who were ministering to them. Today it is those rulers that are charged with watching. As we see here in our text, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, and then he tells us why that we are to submit. He tells us why that we are to submit to their dominion, so to speak. It is because they watch for your souls. The first thing I want to emphasize here and to try and explain is what it means to rule over you. There are those, have been many down through the years, that interpreted this as their right to be a dictator over the people, and that is not the teaching of the Scripture by any stretch of the imagination. We find here in this text that is that they are to rule, obey them that rule over you. The word rule literally means to lead. It might be better translated, as some do, to guide you. It means to command with official authority, meaning that there is a certain authority and a command here that God has ordained. But once again, it is never to the point of anyone dictating to God's people at all. Back up to verse 7, and we get a little bit more of an explanation, a definition of what it means for someone to rule. Paul says again in verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you. But there are three specific points that tell us what that means. Number one, who have spoken unto you the word of God. This is the primary authority of anyone who has rule. They can't dictate according to their own personal feeling or their own personal idea. It must be according to the word of God. Just give out truth. I've often said, when you're teaching the word of God, just teach what's there. That's all you need to do. Just teach what's there. And so that is sufficient. And so these are indeed those who give forth the word of God. Secondly, whose faith follow. It means that a ruler has to be a ruler by example. He can't just dictate what everybody else wants to do. I've heard this said and heard it from others. You do what I say or else you're in danger of eternal hellfire. People do not understand the word of God when they make such statements as that, or any other consequence that people might bring forth. Whose faith follow? You need to be the example of what you are speaking, the example of the message that you are bringing forth at this point. And then, thirdly, considering the end of their conversation. Look at their lives. See how God has rewarded. See how God has blessed because of the path that they set forth, and then follow exactly the same thing. And so when Paul says here in verse 17, obey them that have the rule, the people in verse 7 is the type of people he's talking about. They are setting the example. They are guiding. They are leading. There's a wonderful expression of this little word, guide. You'll find it in John 16, where that Jesus refers to the power of the Holy Spirit, who shall guide you into all truth. Goes back to this same word rule that we find here. And the Holy Ghost is not a dictator. The Holy Ghost is a leader. And so thus these rulers are to follow in exactly the same path. I want to notice that insofar as we find this little word rule or guide, find out that there are others who translate that. Rotherham, in fact, is one of the very good ones that translators that I really trust and enjoy. He translates verse 17 this way: be yielding unto them who are guiding you, and submit yourselves. And again, it is according to this same pattern that we found here in verse 7. I also want to call our attention to the fact that Paul brings the power of the Holy Ghost in, as we have already mentioned. It is the Holy Ghost who guide you into truth. Notice verse 20. Paul says, now the God of peace is none other than the Holy Ghost. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. This brings into the fact here, it is the power of the Holy Ghost that supplies the power. Rulers don't have that kind of power to make anyone do anything. Nor does the Holy Ghost try to do that. But you will notice the power that the Holy Spirit has, which rulers simply do not in themselves have. And so the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, he showed his power by raising Jesus up out of the dead. I can tell you of a surety and on authority of God's word, that same power is in us to do exactly the same thing within us, but it is his power and not that of men or of rulers. And so he brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, also through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the basis for what God is doing in the lives of his people. Verse 21, make you perfect. That is, this same God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. And you will notice, working in you. I point again to the fact that the ruler cannot do that. He may have that desire, but no one can do that. Only the Holy Ghost is able to perform that great miracle. And so make you perfect in every good will, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That is, according to the word of God, it is through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so, yes, these rulers are important, as we are going to see here presently, but they are limited. They cannot do certain things, and I add again, they cannot demand certain things. They don't have that power. God has not given them. And so I want to see just a little bit about these rulers that are to watch. Verse 17, once again, obey them. You need to listen to what they say. You need to consider the words that God has given to them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. They watch for your souls. These rulers are given a certain responsibility, and part of that is to watch for your souls. And I want to explore just a little bit about what that means. When we speak of souls, we're not just thinking of that inner man. That is, the scripture does not. There is that separation. We know that man is a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. But souls often refers to all three of them. For example, Peter mentions the fact that there were 8 souls saved when the floods came. He's talking about the 8 members of Noah's family. It tells us that they were saved bodily. And so this is one of the responsibilities of the ruler, to watch for your souls. That is the needs of people, even in a bodily fashion. This is why they often find themselves very much in prayer and other ways that they might minister unto those souls. They are to watch for your souls. And then you will notice this last part. As they that must give account. This is what I think some of those dictators have forgotten. Yes, God has given them the charge of watching for souls, but they must give account. And let us understand, and all men understand, the account that they are giving is before God, not before man. And not only that, but when they give account, they are giving account not only of the souls they're watching, they are giving account of themselves. I want to see 2 examples of that. There are undoubtedly many, many more in the scripture, but for this message, we're only going to consider 2 of those examples. The first one is Ezekiel. Let us go to the 3rd chapter of that book. We don't get much to Ezekiel, but it is a rather long book and a rather informative book. If you know where Jeremiah and Lamentations is, we'll go to the next book. Ezekiel. Page 900 in my Bible, but anyway, should be close. Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter. Let's go down to verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Ezekiel was one who must watch for the souls of the people. And so, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. This is exactly the same thing that we have, and this is what I want to reinforce, is that this pattern goes all the way through of these examples, and what Paul is telling us there in Hebrews, and it starts out with the word of God. This is the primary responsibility that any ruler has, is to give out the word of God. And so, as we read here, therefore, Ezekiel, therefore, you watchmen, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word at my mouth, and then give them warning from me. This warning does not come from men, as many have down through the ages, speaking of things that are simply not true. This is a direct warning from God himself. And so, in verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. God has looked upon the wicked, and he has seen a reason that he is going to take him out of this world. But he has also sent warning. We just finished the book of Jonah, where that this same pattern was followed. And God told Jonah, I want you to go to your enemies, and I want you to give them this message of impending destruction. As we found out, Jonah didn't want to do that, but he finally did. But this is what he's telling Ezekiel. When I send you to the wicked, you warn them, you tell them what I'm going to do. You warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. He rejects that, but his blood will I require at thy hand. That simply means that if Ezekiel does not give the warning, if Ezekiel does not speak the word, he is responsible. This is why I say that when Paul says these rulers must give account, they're not only giving account of the people, they're giving account of themselves before God. And so when you give him, if you give him not warning, then he said, his blood will require at your hand. Verse 19, if you warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. You have done what you're supposed to do, and so you are free and clear, Ezekiel. This is true of every ruler. His responsibility is simply to give forth what God has said. And then verse 20 is so very interesting because, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, we would refer to this kind of person in the New Testament, as Paul said there to the Corinthians, this is a righteous man, this is a believer, but he has turned from his righteousness. Paul has a word for that. This is a carnal believer. This is true of the majority of the church today. The church is as carnal and fleshly as it can be. But you see, if Ezekiel is sent to such a man, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. Once again, it is Ezekiel who must understand that he will be responsible. God will hold him accountable if he does not speak the word. And so he shall die in his sin, his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will require at thy hand, I will require. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man. This is where your responsibility ends, Ezekiel. And you'll notice, read the very last phrase of this verse, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel, the watchman, the only one he had to remember, the only one he had to acknowledge was his own self. He is the one who had to remember whether to give this message or indeed not give this message. There is an interesting account in the New Testament. You will not turn there, but it's in the fourth chapter of Colossians. There was a man by the name of Epaphras, a very godly man. Paul said of him, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This marks Epaphras as a man who was watching for their souls, even under prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. Again, a ruler that is zealous for the saints. He is watching for these souls, as we read there in Hebrews. And notice, this is what I want to point out. Them that are in Laodicea. Those of you who are prophecy students understand that Laodicea is not a church that has been commended. They were one of the worst. But what we want to see here, Laodicea had their chance. They are associated with the very elite group at Colossae. There was no reason for them to have the testimony that they do in Revelation 3. And here we find that Epaphras was a man who ministered to them to this end. He would bring forth this wonderful truth, as it were, testifying to these righteous people, testifying to those at Laodicea. But apparently they turned a deaf ear to him. Epaphras would be one like Ezekiel who would have delivered himself. He would be pure from the blood of these people. This brings us to our next example. Let's go to the third chapter of Colossians. I want to notice that Paul followed along exactly the same pattern that Ezekiel did. Colossians. The first chapter. In verse 25, Paul says, "Whereof," that is of the gospel, "whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Paul follows exactly the same pattern. His primary source of information, his primary responsibility of being a ruler, is to give out the word of God. Now, Paul is very unique in this matter because an entire dispensation of the gospel was given to him, only to him. We go back to the age of law, and we always refer to it, which it is, the law of Moses. Moses was the primary character there in the age of law because God gave it to him. The Apostle Paul is the primary person in the church age because God gave him an entire dispensation of the gospel. There are many who do not accept that. I have talked to people who said, "Oh, don't give me those words of Paul. I want to hear the words of Jesus." Jesus gave Paul the dispensation of the grace of God, wherein we are today. And that is where that men have failed miserably throughout the church, because they have not listened to the man that God charged with giving out that message. And so he refers to it here, that he ministered according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And this particular ministry in verse 27, Paul defines, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. This is a powerful mystery that God has given, but sadly, much of the church do not understand this mystery because they didn't listen to the one who indeed gave it. There are many mysteries in Scripture. Some are labeled mysteries. For example, we read the mystery of godliness. We read the mystery of iniquity. There are a number of other mysteries, but I want to point to a few of these mysteries that are not actually labeled that. For example, the new birth is a mystery. We know that because you'll find that in John 3. This is where Nicodemus questioned Jesus about making such a statement, "Ye must be born again. Can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born?" It was a mystery. It still is. But it's a mystery we can understand by the power of the Holy Ghost. We can experience it, must experience it, in our own lives. Notice some more. There is the mystery of the two natures. This is one of the greatest mysteries that so many Christians miss. There are a host of Christians in our world that do not understand nor believe the glorious teaching of eternal life. You know why? Because they don't understand that there are two natures in one believer. But if we listen to the ruler, if we listen to the one who is speaking, if we listen to Paul's gospel, we can understand those wonderful mysteries that he gave unto us. There are those who refuse to believe the mystery that the power of the Holy Ghost can enter into this physical body and cause the tongue to speak languages that a person did not understand, that they did not learn in any way. But that's exactly what happened. These are mysteries that God is able to speak unto us, and that the Apostle Paul and other parts of the Scripture indeed include these rulers, including the message that God gave. I say again that the ruler will be held accountable as to whether he preached these mysteries or whether he did not. Yes, he is, and he must, and he will give account for those souls that we spoke of there in Hebrews 13. But keep in mind, every ruler will also give account of himself. And so the Apostle Paul tells us here that he certainly was willing and he was able and he was faithful to make known these riches. As we continue here in verse 28 of Colossians 1, whom we preach, that is Christ, warning every man. It's exactly what God told Ezekiel. If I tell you to go and to warn them, then that's what you're to do. This is exactly the same path that the Apostle Paul followed, warning every man. And as we read here, teaching every man in all wisdom. When you see wisdom in the scripture, true wisdom, you can replace it with one word, Christ. Christ is made unto us wisdom. This is his message. This is the message that the church should be preaching today, but I fear that all of them are not. We don't have to give account for anybody else, but we most certainly do have to give account for ourselves. And so Paul did. He was teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present, this is the result, every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is exactly what Paul was doing. See, this is how we can say Paul was, and these other examples, they watch for your souls. And he applied all of these different things indeed unto them. The thought of Paul, as we close, will not turn there. But you remember the scripture well. It's in the 20th chapter of Acts, when Paul was meeting with the Ephesian elders. And he said this, wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul is giving account of himself. And another place he said, I know nothing against myself. But here he says, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because he was faithful to give out this truth of God's word. He was faithful to declare the message. And so not only did he give account of the Corinthians, which he did at various times, but he gave account of himself. And so he says, I am pure from the blood of all men. And why? I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. This is the testimony that every ruler must have in his own life as he gives account. As Paul said there in Ephesians, they watch for your souls that they may give account. Why? That they may do it with joy and not with grief. And what it is, what a joy it is. You know, people might wonder sometimes what it means to give account to God for these souls. Many times it is found in rejoicing because the ruler sees the gospel on display in those to whom he ministers. Such a joy and a wonder. He is giving account to God of what is happening there. And of course, as I said, there is the watching these souls and praying accordingly for the need that is seen. And so the ruler today, as following Paul's pattern, they must watch for your souls and give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief.